If you're a photographer who likes deals on gear, products, and services that make doing business easier, you must grab a free Expo Plus Pass for Imaging USA. The free Expo Pass unlocks all the magic of the Imaging USA Expo, which features over 130 of the industry's leading brands showcasing their latest products. Touch, try, and buy at an incredible discount, and enjoy all the extra perks the pass offers, like the opening keynote session, networking avenue, and more. See why thousands of photographers return to the Expo year after year. Don't wait. Claim your free pass today at imagingusa.com. That's imagingusa.com.
I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. Welcome into the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Miller, and we are live, Imaging USA in Dallas 2025. It's been a great conference so far, and we are not done yet because we have another episode to bring to you in the Scale Your Influence series. Paige Tingey is our guest today. We are talking about landscape photography. Our set, man, Sony went all out. Big old high five to Sony for bringing their Cinema Line cameras and their monitor and control app. No wires, easy to control on the iPad. It's make production an absolute breeze this week. So thank you, Sony, for putting in the hard work. Okay, today's episode, we're going to talk with Paige Tingey. And if you haven't seen her landscape photography, bro, you need to look it up. It's unbelievable. And it's really envious to look at her stuff. She's traveling the world. But what does it take to do that? How do you get that image? You're going to be blown away about how she thinks about natural light, the amount of planning that goes into not only where she goes, but when, not only what she shoots, but how, and then afterwards, how she processes the images and shares that with you online. If you think landscape photography is cool and it's something you'd like to do someday, this episode will definitely help you out. So let's get into it now. Paige, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. It's been a crazy week, so I'm actually glad that it's like the final day. We're wrapping everything up.
Yeah.
Getting to chat with you. So yeah.
You're an international woman of mystery. You just flew in from Guatemala?
Yeah.
That's incredible. Tell me about it.
No, it was amazing. So that is like part of what I do. I travel almost 50% of the time. I wouldn't say that that's like going to be always the way I do it, but lately it's just been a lot of international travel, and Guatemala was unreal. I love a lot of different like countries in that area, but I'd actually never been to Guatemala, and I wasn't expecting it to be so underrated. There's places you can just stand and see like five volcanoes circling you. The scale of everything is insane. The food was amazing. The people were amazing. It was just really beautiful. And we like had this whole plan to go all around the country, and we went to like three different places, and we ended up extending in almost every place that we went because we didn't want to leave. We didn't want to go like miss out on like what we were doing. And anyway, so it was just like every place was amazing enough that we just were like, oh, I think we have to stay one more day here. So now I need to go back and go to all the other places I didn't even have time to go to. So
doing landscape, how do you feel when you're in the presence of five volcanoes at once? Does that just get you so excited?
Yeah, I think it's like the reason that I started doing photography in the first place. Even from like a really young age, I was always mesmerized by what I was seeing. And so being in places like that, it just does something to my soul that I can't really describe very well. It's just like, it feels like your heart is just gonna like burst because it's so full. I just get so excited, so exhilarated. I could be on 2 hours of sleep a night, but I get to like a viewpoint with all these volcanoes around me. And it just like, I wish I could put words to it. I really can't. It's so good.
And that's timeless. Creators for centuries have talked about that feeling of inspiration and how difficult it is to describe.
Yeah.
That's when you know you're doing what you love.
Exactly.
Yeah. You shared with me that as a landscape photographer, it's not necessarily about the stuff you're seeing, it's about the light and the way that it falls on the stuff you're seeing. Can you talk about how an expert like you thinks about natural light?
Totally. So the other interesting thing, I'm going to back up and then I'll answer your question.
Sure.
But so before I became a photographer, I was actually, my mom was a painter. And so I grew up like doing a lot of different art and stuff. And I understood like drawing and everything. And so if you take a blank canvas and you draw a person's face, right, everything that you see on that canvas is either going to be like a line or no line, right?
Yeah.
So it's either light or it's no light. And so the way that I think about everything around me is kind of from that same perspective. It's like the only reason that we can see shapes and colors and everything is because light is actually hitting it. And so for me, light is just so integrated into the way that I think about how something will look. And I know that kind of sounds obvious, but just the shadows and the light are really what's making up what I'm seeing. And so when I'm taking pictures, I take it in a way and I look for certain scenarios where I know that even when I'm post-processing it, I'll be able to kind of capitalize on the light and the shadows, bring them out, bring them down, like whatever it needs to be to kind of maximize like the actual composition of the photo. And so that's kind of the reason that I've kind of started being so obsessed with light is partially from like the artist side of things and also just like the way I think about why we're even seeing what we're seeing.
Yeah.
So
that's not obvious though. Civilians like me don't think about sound or heat or light. Like you, it's as if you perceive it in a different way. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. I guess, well, I mean, you can confirm that that's true.
Yeah.
I guess for me, it's like always how I've thought about it, but it does make sense that like other people think of things as, I don't know, maybe just in like simpler form.
Yeah, totally.
So yeah.
Yeah, we take it for granted.
Yeah.
We don't think about those types of things in the way that you do. One other thing that you shared that just blew me away is, okay, you walk up and there's the volcano.
Uh-huh.
You're not showing up by accident. You're pre-planning. Talk to us about how you pre-plan to get the shot that you think you want to get.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of tools that we all can use to make our lives a little easier. I will say that when you're traveling internationally and you have to book your tickets way in advance, and then you just show up and you're shooting in 10 different locations and some locations you didn't even know you were going to show up to, the planning can be very difficult in that scenario.
Yeah.
But I'd say in a perfect world, the things that I really like to utilize is, well, there's a couple different apps. First one is Photopill. Second one is called Windy. So as a landscape photographer, if people are not using these apps, like they are game changers for me. So what they do is it allows you to understand, like Photopills is a great app where you can go in and you can see exactly like what direction the light is going to be rising from in the morning. You can see exactly where it's going to set. You can see exactly what time of day, like what angle it's going to be at. You can check so many different things about the light in that app. And so it's really heavily used in landscape photography for that purpose. Astrophotographers will use it because they can see exactly where the Milky Way is going to be, at what time of night, you know. So there's like a lot of information in that that is really vital. And so if I am chasing a specific shot, and I know that, you know, if I know the direction of like the viewpoint that I'm going to be at, if I know it's facing south or something, I'll be able to research beforehand, like even down to like what day of the year I want to get to that location, because I'll know it's going to, if I want the sun to rise like to the diagonal left of the view, then I can actually go map that out and I can see like, oh, on August 5th, it's going to be in that perfect spot, and I'm going to be able to get a really good sun flare right as it comes above the mountain, like things like that. So if you really want to go hard at planning, that's ideal.
We're going hard, man.
But it's like, it's not always like that perfect, right? So I would say that still in general, I try to get locations in certain times of year that I know it's going to be good. When I'm actually, if I'm going international and I'm actually trying to plan like my week. So like an example, last year I was in Madeira, Portugal, and the island is amazing. It's like, it takes like an hour and a half to drive across the island, and you feel like you've gone to 10 different countries by the time you get to the other side. It's really cool. And so there's like forests that you want like foggy. There's viewpoints that you want like clear skies and beautiful sunrise light. Like there's all these different conditions that you're kind of chasing on this very small island. And so while I'm there, that's when I use Windy. And so, I'm there for about 5 or 6 days. And so I'll be every night, every morning, I'm like looking at web cameras. I'm like getting on the Windy app and I'm checking like, okay, where is there going to be low clouds? Where is there going to be high clouds? And like what elevation are those clouds going to be? And so I kind of plan out my week according to okay, if I want to be in this like foggy forest and I want foggy conditions, what morning should I go do that? Or it's like maybe, you know, if I want a clear sunrise and I want light actually breaking through the horizon, I need to track like where the clouds are going to be. I need to make sure they're not going to be blocking the sun when it comes up. And so it doesn't ever work out perfectly, but that's kind of how I plan things if I have that luxury to like pick days and stuff. So, and it works really well. So those are really, really useful tools for it.
Those are high tech. Do you also low tech sketch and that kind of stuff too? Or how do you conceptualize the shot that you want that begins all the planning?
Yeah, I think just because I am like a photographer, but I'm also like a social media person, I get influenced definitely myself by other people who travel to these places. And so I typically have a sense of just like different photographs that have been taken in that area, or there maybe was a photograph that was so well done that I was like, dang, like I need to go to that place. It inspired me to want to travel there.
Yeah, right.
And so I think I don't do a lot of sketches now that I think about it, but I do a lot of like kind of mood boarding. And so I'll kind of go into different, I don't know, maybe I'll go online and I'll look up things, even places where not a lot of photographers have been. I'll even go into like Google Maps.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll start looking through like pictures of people that have just gone there like on a hike or something and just uploaded a photo from their phone. Because even that, like I can check like where things are kind of positioned. Like I'm like, oh, there's a big mountain to the left of that viewpoint. And that kind of stuff really does help so that you don't get there and you're like surprised about something.
I didn't know that was there.
Yeah.
There's a water tower in the way. What's going on?
Exactly. And that does still happen for sure. You get to locations all the time where you're like, what is that thing? Like it's totally blocking the view or things change, you know, people knock down bridges and you know things like that will happen. And so you know, nothing that's perfect, but I do a lot of research. I read blogs before I go places. Sometimes I'll watch YouTube videos of like vloggers, because video is like gives you a different perspective of seeing like the people will like pan locations and things like that. But I honestly, like when I'm actually composing a photo, most of it is really done in the moment. Like I don't do a ton of pre-planning of like, oh, that's the exact composition I want to get when I get there.
Right.
I think that's part of the fun when you actually get there is being able to move around, change your like your perspective. Mm-hmm. I often like to try to change my perspective because us as humans, we see everything at eye level.
Right.
And so everything seems to be a little more interesting if you can, you know, get lower,
yeah,
put up a drone in the sky. I really love that.
Fun. Are you taking drones around with you? That's super cool.
Yeah, it's awesome.
All right, you said something that I'm connecting, and I hope I'm not making a bad connection.
Okay.
I had the chance to interview a couple of days ago Kevin Dooley, wildlife photographer. You're talking about chasing the shot, and it reminds me of him talking about chasing the shot with the animals because they're moving around and he doesn't have control over them.
Yeah.
You're chasing what the light is doing, what the clouds are doing. Is that a fair comparison?
I think so. I would say that I have like such mad respect for like any wildlife photographers because I think that is another level of difficulty.
It like, seems like it.
Yeah, at least my mountain isn't running away from me.
Right, it's like
holding
teeth,
still. Yeah,
right?
Exactly. So I think that I have it a little easier than that maybe, but yeah, the conditions is hard to chase sometimes for sure. Like it is a lot, the amount of times that I've gone to a place that I've wanted to go to for so long and I get there and it's just like terrible lighting. I'm like, no, it happens all the time. Or even the volcano. So this volcano erupts like every 20 minutes and I wanted so badly to see it erupt.
Yeah.
And we get there and they're like, yeah, oddly enough, it just hasn't been erupting for days. And like literally the exact window that I was in the country, it just wasn't erupting for who knows what reason. And I was like, so sad. It was like erupting days before we got there and then just nothing. So
frustrating.
It happens. Yeah, you travel across the world and also you get there and you're like, the one thing I really wanted to happen isn't happening. And
right,
it's kind of hard mentally, I'm not gonna lie, because you put so much investment into it.
Right.
But I think like giving up and just like being in a bad mood is not gonna help anybody either. And
yeah,
so you just kind of have to work with what you have, stay positive. And then maybe it's a good excuse to go back in the future.
Yeah, so you said Guatemala was great.
It was great.
You get to go back.
I know.
Okay. So you capture the image. Let's talk about natural light in editing. So you get it home or you've got it on the computer now. Talk us through how you deal with it once you have it in post.
Yes. Okay. So I think like with natural light, there are kind of three scenarios that like that I kind of bucket my photos into three different buckets. So you have maybe like golden hour light, where the sun has actually come above whatever, like it's actually risen, and it's kind of casting like side light into the frame and stuff like that. It's really warm, it's really beautiful, it's really soft. So that's my favorite type of lighting.
Yeah.
But then there's also like amazing sunsets and sunrises where the sky is burning, there's no actual sunlight, it's just illuminating the clouds, or maybe like a blue hour shot where it's like you have some stars and maybe a little moon and it's like very soft, even lighting.
Yeah.
And then you have like the harsh lighting where it's like midday, there's like shadows everywhere. Oh no, sorry.
Oh, you came unplugged.
I need to stop talking with my arms and then maybe that would help. But yeah, so basically you have those three sort of scenarios, and most people hate like one of those, right? Like most people prefer to kind of shoot in like a certain type of light, and I definitely like shooting in the golden hour light. And so when I get home, depending on which of those lighting situations will absolutely influence how I actually edit the photo. If I'm on location, I do try to use the light as part of the composition, especially if there is like a strong light source. And so I guess you could say an example of that would be, you know, if you are composing using triangles, which is a really common way to balance negative space, positive space, and weight in the photo, basically, you know, I might use that as actually like one of my triangle elements, because it actually, even though it's negative space, it's still taking up a lot of weight in the photo, and you still have to consider it an element.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of people forget that they can do that. They think like, oh, when I'm composing something, I'm only using physical solid objects or things, right? And so when I get home, hopefully I've composed that correctly,
right?
When I was out shooting. And then when I get home, I really try to bring out like those elements as I'm editing. So, you know, if I have that light source kind of coming in from the left, I'm going to absolutely use like sort of a dodging and burning type of effect, where I bring that out a little bit, make sure that it like really stands out as a strong element in the photograph. Whether I need to like add some more warmth into it because it's sunlight and it's warm, whether I need to like brighten it even more than it was. Like I really go crazy on the light stuff. It's fun.
And there's really three stages, it sounds like. You've got this intense planning of where you want to go and why. And something you touched on, I just want to come back to, is the middle stage. You're capturing the image. You talked about being present and being positive. Is that important for you while you're trying to capture the image?
It is. It is, because I think like if something's not going your way, it's just so easy to just be frustrated. And I actually think like one of my favorite photos that I ever took in Washington was, we did this like 5-hour hike, and we got there and it was like just the worst conditions. Yeah. It was just like cloudy, there's a beautiful mountain that like barely, you can like barely see it anyway, but it, to this day, it's like one of my favorite pictures, because the water was like getting blown everywhere. It's an alpine lake, so it was just really so the water's so blue, and the water was just getting like blown around, and I got a photo where I was like sitting on a rock and the water's just like raging beneath me and the sky is like super moody and stuff, and I was like, dang, this photo's actually way better than it could have been with my preferred light, you know. It just had a whole different feel to it. So I think like, but it's so common for people to get to their location and they're like, oh, this isn't what I wanted, this sucks, like I don't want to shoot, and then they kind of lose motivation and then they don't really get anything. But yeah, if you just capitalize kind of what is happening around you and really focus on finding a unique composition that works with like the light that you have, then you can come up with really cool stuff. So
I had a 6-hour layover for this, right? No, we got to stay in it. You got to get it. All right, we're almost out of time, but I want to touch on something that may be obvious to you, but I think everyone else feels it's obvious. If we had the opportunity to pick what kind of photography we get to do, oh my gosh, who doesn't want to travel the world and take beautiful pictures? Like, it seems like you're doing one of the aspirational styles that everyone wants to do. If they want to do what you're doing, like they're trying to follow your footsteps, what kind of advice or guidance would you have for them if they want to also do landscape and all of these exotic, beautiful places?
I feel like there's so much advice I could try to give, but I'd say like trying to narrow it down. I think that the way that I've done it is to absolutely through like social media, because I started posting my photographs on social media so long ago, that really just opened up a lot of doors. It's not the only way to do it 100%, but that's just what worked for me. And so I, you know, people are able to see my portfolio, their brands are able to find me. My work goes really well with like tourism boards and things like that. And I've done that intentionally. You know, I've kind of curated this online portfolio that enables me to continue to travel and stuff like that. But I'd say, like, I see so many people that think that they want, like travel and this kind of life, and they don't maybe, actually love like photography, and they don't actually like really love like the creative side enough to make all the other hard stuff worth it.
Yeah.
Cause it is, it's amazing. And I feel like so privileged to be able to like travel like the way I do, but there are things about it that are really difficult, really tiring.
Yeah.
It's a not all easy lifestyle. And so I think like if I didn't love creating and like I didn't love photography mm-hmm. to the point where it's like I'm having the worst travel trip, I'm like everything has gone wrong, but I like get to that viewpoint and I just like feel that sense of calm.
Yeah.
If that didn't do that for my soul, like I don't think I could do this as a lifestyle. Like, mm-hmm. and so yeah, I think some people start trying to like post on social media to be like an influencer or something like that.
Right.
But I don't think they would last. Like I don't think they would be able to make it through all the hard stuff if it doesn't like feed their soul enough, you
right.
know? So
you got to work really hard to make it look that easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I guess.
I would imagine. It sounds from the research to the actual shoot and the travel is no joke.
Yeah,
some of these places are so remote.
It. Yeah. It's like weeks of like very little sleep sometimes. So it's hard, but again, I love it so much that it's all worth it. So
it's been an inspirational conversation, not only for the photography stuff, but also the hat tip to what it takes to do what you do. And obviously the work is amazing. Paige Tingey, thanks for coming on the show. I appreciate
it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for tuning in to the Professional Photographer Podcast live from Imaging USA 2025. And a big thanks to Sony for making this look great. Well, it's as great as you can make this look, but we appreciate you being here. So here's what's next. You need to like and subscribe to this podcast feed because we release this show every week where I get a chance to sit down with the leaders in the industry, and our point of view is to help you build a better photography business. So like and subscribe, and if you want bonus points, I'll email them to you. You'll get bonus points if you leave a comment on this episode. What did they share on the episode that you want to make sure that you're going to put into your business so you can get further down the road? One other way you can get further down the road, become a member of PPA. If you're watching this and you're not a PPA member, come on, bro. You are missing out of all the good stuff that PPA provides. I'm talking about equipment insurance, top-notch education, and a community of photographers around you that are serious about improving their craft. If you want to know more, go to PPA.com. That's PPA.com. At PPA, you belong here. Thanks again for tuning in to the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Pat Miller. We'll see you right here next time. Talk to you soon.